Hello, hello. We are live for episode number two of Making It Last Forever Christian Marriage and Relationship podcasts.
Amen.
This is your girl, Christ Lady Diva,
This is
and
Yvonne, guys.
I got my partner in ministry on with us, and we are excited to be here to go ahead and launch this second episode. Now, before we, get into it, we gotta thank all of our listeners and our audience for the support of our first episode. Yes, we are one, but we're not the same. The
Amen.
feedback that we received was phenomenal, Yvonne. Like,
Yes,
it was
it
good.
was really good. It was really good.
Yes.
And I enjoyed
So,
myself. For our first podcast, I enjoyed listening to myself.
oh, well, someone's a little conceited. No. No. I know what you mean.
Like, oh, she sounds good. No.
No, guys, she really isn't that full of herself. But anyway, I know what you mean. It sounded great. I really enjoyed it. I think I listened to it probably six or seven times. I'm not even kidding. Because, unlike you, I didn't just want to hear myself speak. But I actually really enjoyed the meat of the topic that we were
I
discussing.
did too.
And, we had initially said, Yvonne, that, our marriages are not perfect by a long shot. We have our trials and tribulations just like everyone else in their marriage. And so we hope with this podcast that we too can learn and grow. And
Yeah.
just listening to us, the Holy Spirit used us in our first episode was like, wow, I'm really blessing me. My sister's really blessing me. You know what I'm saying? With her sharing her experience and her wisdom. It was really phenomenal.
It was. And some of the feedback that we got was, you think about, yourself and what you're going through, and you think that you're in those situations by yourself. And there is so many women who think like that. And so it's also good that we do share our experiences. And so each one can teach one. I think I always say there's always someone in your circle that you always can learn from. So I'm glad that, we're able to help, and then they're able to learn and grow and then pour in to other people, because what we do need is community. As wives,
Amen.
as women, we do need community, because no one can understand what a mom is going through but another mom. I'm sorry, if you don't have children, there's no way you can understand what the mother goes through in her
Amen.
everyday life of children, house, all these things. We need community. That's a big thing.
You are so good in just segueing into our topics.
I
I
told you
love
I
how
like
you just
listening
do
to
that.
myself.
Love how you do that because you talk about, us needing community as married women. That's exactly what we're going to talk about today in our episode number two, is balancing marriage with single female friends. And so this topic we're going to discuss, Yvonne, it's not a new topic. It's a topic that's been discussed before on other, I'm sure marriage podcasts and several articles I've read and so forth. So it's not a new topic, but of course, everything we do from this platform, we want to do from, not just sharing our experiences, but also from a biblical perspective. We want to, put some ministry on that, or some ministry and some scripture on that thing. And so, what I want to start off by saying is that, when it comes to being a married woman and we're trying to maintain our relationships with our friends, especially our single friends, whether they choose to remain single by choice, they're, divorced, they were married, but now they're divorced, or they're single because they haven't found their Mr. Right or their Boaz or whatever you want to call it. It can become challenging maintaining, friendships with our friends that fit one of these three categories. So, today, Yvonne, I want us to talk about, the challenges that come with that, with co that come with being married and having single girlfriends, right? And I want us to talk about, why setting boundaries with single friends as a married woman is so necessary. And lastly, I want us to talk about, how it is possible to maintain healthy friendships with our single friends without putting unnecessary strain on our marriage. Because like you just said, we as married women, we still need community. And one thing, as I was preparing for this podcast and going through the scriptures, I didn't see anything in the scriptures that said married women can't have single friends. You know what I mean? There's a lot of scripture about, making sure you choose your friends wisely. And, there's scriptures about who to stay away from and who to, who to befriend, what type of qualities that person should have. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say married women can't have single friends. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of married women have.
Also too, and it's like you have to think about it before you get married. You do have single friends, and you can't just throw them away because now your life has changed because you chose to have, a husband. You can't, to me, you can't just, cut that friendship off, especially if it's a healthy relationship, just because your status has changed. And those relationships still need to be nurtured and poured into, so you can have a healthy relationship with your single friends. And just also let them know too, just because I got married, there's still a place for you in my life. Because some people, some single, some of our single friends, kind of mourn that relationship after we get married because there is a difference, there is a change, and they are going to miss those times where it used to be just you two. And so a reassurance for them too to know that yes, I might have taken on a husband and maybe kids and things like that, but to me you're still important in my life and there is a space for you.
I love that. I so love that. But with that though, we're also going to talk about, those boundaries and
It
why
has
they're
to be
so necessary.
boundaries
Yes, and why that's so
because
necessary.
we are not single anymore.
And man, we might have had some good times as two single friends, but we're not, I'm not single anymore. I'm married. So we gotta change some things as far as that
Yes, we
goes.
have
But
to pivot a little bit.
just a little
Absolutely.
bit, just a little bit. So before we jump into those three things, Yvonne, I want to share some research that I found from Psychology Today. Now, reading this article, the author is he titled himself Happily Single. So this information may be a little biased towards married people.
I
So I
wonder what
want
happened to
our
him in the day, back in the day. He's happily single.
He's happily single. So I want us, I want us and I want our audience to take this information with a grain of salt, right? Meaning that it may not apply to everyone that is single and those that are married. But here we go. So his research found, and we will not say his name, but his research found that singles have more friends and are better at maintaining their friendships than married people. His research found that married couples tend to spend a majority of their time with their partner and often leave their friendships behind. And his research found that single people are more likely to keep in contact with and receive assistance from friends, family, and neighbors than those who are married. So, Yvonne, I'm going to throw the ball in your court. What do you think about these findings? I'll repeat for our audience. Singles have more friends and are better at maintaining their friendships than married people. Married couples tend to spend a majority of their time with their partner and often leave their friendships behind. Single people are more likely to keep in contact with and receive assistance from friends, family, and neighbors than those who are married. What are your thoughts about those findings?
Well, let's start with the first point. When he says singles have more friends and are better at maintaining their friendships than married people. I can only speak for myself when I am a wife. First of all, I'm very protective of what, God gave me and with my children and my husband. Everyone doesn't get access to that. So I'm not a me personally, I'm not a firm believer of all these multiple friends because a lot of people don't get certain access to me. But I think when you are single, you do have a better way of maintaining your friendships, because maybe, yeah, you might work and maybe you have, you know, your extracurricular activities. But a lot of that time you don't have with running here to basketball practice, school. Now, that doesn't mean you have kids. So I'm just saying we're, you know, I'm married, I have kids, so I might have to go like to a school counseling night or picking up schedules or enrollment or something like that. Or my husband might have a work event where I have to go to. So my priority isn't with all my friends all the time. You know, I'm balancing my home, work life, and everything like that. So I can see in this part where he says he has a better singles have more friends and are better at maintaining their friendships than married people. I think because when you have your friends, you can put your friends on as a priority. For me, there's places for my friends. Yes, they might be important to me, but my family is my number one priority. So that's kind of where I did with the first point.
And I can feel that, sis. I can totally feel that. It to me, looking at that first bullet, it would make sense, to your point, that singles would have more friends because singles may have more time. You know, so what you were saying to, you know, have those friendships and to maintain those friendships because friendships do require maintenance. They are
And
a
it's
form of,
time.
yeah, it's a form of a relationship. You know what I mean? So it, because it's a form of a relationship, it does require time. And to, like you said, I love the word that you use, Yvonne, nurture. Takes time to nurture. And you, when you're married, you just don't have that. Like I think about even my married friends, my one friend that I have in Las Vegas, you know, we're both married. We both have three kids. We have, you know, very, you know, hectic schedules. We work and things like that. So we could go months, even years without, you know, speaking to each other. Well, maybe not years, but months without speaking to each other. But when we do get together, it's like we haven't missed a beat because we understand that, you know, it's nothing personal, nothing as far as the quality and the condition of our friendship has changed. We're just, you know, we're just
We're
moms
just
and wives and
busy,
busy.
and
You
we're
know what I mean?
busy. And thank God for social media, you know, because, you know, before where you have to pick up a phone and have like, you know, hours of conversations, you're either you can shoot a text message or an IM, hey, just checking on you, blah, 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 kiss the kids for me, something like that. To where it's like, even though we might not spend a lot of that time, you know, that we usually would do, you at least know that I am thinking of you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then to the opposite side of that, you know, I think about some of my single friends and they do feel like, you know, to his to the second bullet, you know, sometimes they do feel like I'm leaving them behind because, you know, I don't reach out as much or we don't get together as much. You know, they think that, you know, I've forgotten about them. And it's like, no, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm always accessible. And you said that, Yvonne, in one of our conversations, my availability may be different, but I'm always accessible if you need me. So let's get into that second bullet. Married couples tend to spend majority of their time with their partner and often leave their friends behind. Why do a lot of single people have this, and I call it a misconception because I don't like that he stated that we leave our friends behind. That is never the intention of a married
It's
woman.
never intentional.
To leave her friends behind once she gets married, like,
No.
you know, thanks for, you know, being my friend while I was single. I don't need you anymore. Now that I'm married, you know, and if you are a married woman that's like that, shame on you. But no married woman for the most part has that type of intention that to just get married and leave their friends behind. So, Yvonne, what do you think about that?
No, absolutely. First of all, if you're a married woman and you are in a happily married relationship, I love spending time with my husband. The
Amen.
things that we have and we talk about and we crack up, like, oh my gosh, we've built such a solid relationship, friendship there. Which, if I'm honest, because I was ripping and running, you know, before we, you know, worked out our issues, that kind of relationship with me and him, it kind of wasn't like as solidified as it is now. But baby, let me tell you, once we got on that, we got on that same track and that rhythm was going, man.
Gotta
Yeah,
love
we
the rhythm.
yeah, when that
Hey.
rhythm is going, he might still go out and hang with his boys. And just like last weekend, I had a girls' day with my girls, he had a guys' day, and then when we got home, it was like, what'd you do today? And we were able to just just converse and tell each other how our days went. And that's what healthy relationships should look like. You should be able to pull away and still give your girls or in the husbands their guy time, and then come back and still click. So I can see where he says they can spend majority of the time with their partner. You should be. That's just my opinion. You
Oh,
should be spending
absolutely.
that time with your husband. This is the relationship, this is your life partner. We ain't in this thing for 5 years. We max out, tap out, and you go on to the next. No, this is your life partner. You do life with him. So therefore, you're supposed to be able to nurture those relationships so you can have the longevity of that relationship. But I'm with you. I don't like the statement of leaving them behind. My intention is never to leave anyone behind. And like I said prior, my availability may have changed to where I'm not going to be available to you all the time how you I used to be, but you can always reach out, call me, text me. But like calling me on a Wednesday, telling me we doing this on a Friday, absolutely not. I can't commit to that. For one, you need to give me time to see if my husband had anything planned for us for the weekend. Or you're not respecting my time to see if I do myself have anything that I'm doing. So yeah, I don't intentionally leave anyone behind. It just sometimes life happens, and that's the honest truth.
I agree. I always say, Yvonne, being married changes my relationship with you as my friend, but it shouldn't end it unless you can't respect that change.
Yep.
And we're going to definitely get into that more, because it is it does require our single friends to respect that we're no longer single. And like you said, our relationship, our friendship is still there. We just have to pivot a bit in order to make it work. So let's talk about this last bullet. And also, as far as the majority of the time being spent with my husband, you better believe it, because we have a good time when we together. We'll play pool, we'll listen to music, we'll dance, we'll, do all the things that truthfully I loved to do when I was single. You know what I mean? But now I'm doing those things with
With
him,
my husband, yeah. I
with
even had my
him.
husband listen to New Kids on the Block with me, girl.
Oh
He
my.
didn't understand why I listened to it. He was like, "Did you really have me listen to this? Were you crazy back then?" Like, I'm like,
Oh
"Don't
my
judge
God.
New Kids on the Block."
Hey, you know what? New Kids on the Block, they were what's up back then and
And
still
they no,
today.
still today, because I
And
beat New Kids in the Block in my car as today. Absolutely. Don't judge
well,
me.
yeah, anyway, we gotta move on from that, okay? We finna move on to the next bullet. So his final bullet, his final research found single people are more likely to keep in contact with and receive assistance from friends, family, and neighbors than those who are married. So this is a two-part one. I really want to break this down because, when we were talking about the previous bullet, we were saying things along the lines of, our availability, it may have changed, but the access to us has not changed, which means that we're looking for our friends to reach out to us. But this final bullet says that single people are more likely to keep in contact with. So that means that the single friend, it seems like they're always the one that has to reach out. What are your thoughts about that? Or do you believe that married friends don't reach out as much to keep in contact and keep that, relationship going with the single friend as the single friend would?
I have to kind of raise my hand on this one and point at me. I do have a hard time reaching out and making phone calls. It's not my intention. It's just I maybe I need to be more intentional. How about that? But when the day gets going, it turns into days or 2 weeks. But luckily, I have friends that, you know, we have group chats that we talk to. I have a friend I talk to almost every day. Well, no way. I do have a friend I talk. Oh, well, I always work with her too, so we talk all the time anyway. But with the single friends are more likely to keep in contact and receive assistance from friends, I think, because they have a wide range of free time, as I might say. And I'm not talking about the ones that maybe have children, because if you are single and you're a single parent, believe me, I understand that's probably double duty for you. So you probably maybe fall
Absolutely.
in line a little bit with the busyness and the hecticness of schedules, because it's you balancing work,
Both
kids, and then you
roles.
want a social life and things like that. So let me be clear on that. I am not talking about the single friends who are single mothers also, because you're doing both jobs, and I praise you and commend you on that. However, the single ones that don't have, you know, other responsibilities, and it's just them, they have a wider range of free time. Towards, yes, they might work, and they can also, after work, maybe they're going to happy hour, and after happy hour, they can hit the club and say, hey, meet me over here. Or, you know, they're able to do different functions in a day, or even on the weekend. You know, I know some people that do three events in one day. I can either do a morning or an evening. I cannot do three events in one Saturday. Absolutely not.
The whole day is filled with
The
stuff.
whole day is filled with stuff, and I can't do that. And
For
also
starters, I'm
too,
old. I can't, I'm tired. My stamina, I can't be out
oh
partying
man, we said that before, like, man, it's real making it to
Yes.
midnight sometimes on these weekends. It's
Yes.
like, Lord, just give me to 11:59.
Jesus.
But also too, for, you know, the single people are more likely also to receive assistance from friends, family, and neighbors, and those who are married. And I kind of said this to you before. With married people, we have our other tag team buddy that we tag into that we might need assistance from, or we might need, you know, things with help, like taking the cars to get the car washed. Me, I never wash my car. My husband always washes my car. I don't do it.
Aren't you blessed? I wish I could say the same, but
I
continue.
don't do it. And, you know, I tag him in on that, babe, the car's dusty, it needs to be washed, and he'll go and he'll clean it. I can tag him in. Or if things need to be done around the house, he mostly maintains those things. As of a single female friend, she would either have to rely on maybe an uncle, her father, you know, maybe her brother to come over here and tag in and do some things like that. And I listened to Dave Ramsey, and he did say that for that purpose, for single people to have an accountability buddy, somebody that you make a pact with, that you are going to do life with. Whereas if anything financially happens, you need help, you have that friend. If, you know, you get into a bind with a car or something like that, you have that friend who, you know, that friend's going to pick you up, because you don't have that marriage partner, you know, or a serious significant other, have an accountability buddy. And I was like, oh my God, when I heard that the other day, I just couldn't, I was like, you know, that's the first time I ever thought about that, as a single friend, have an accountability buddy. Not just calling certain friends, maybe they can help you, then you go to the next friend, that you have one designated accountability buddy, and you two are the ones who basically are going to help each other out through life. I said, that's awesome.
That is awesome. And actually, that to me is a sign of maturity,
Yeah.
because we all should have somebody that is going to hold us accountable, someone that's going to call us on our stuff, you know what I mean? But also that person that, you know, we know that we can go to for anything and everything. For
Yeah.
married women, it is their husbands, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I know my husband does all of that. He'll call me on my stuff, but he's also that support when I definitely need him to be.
And you don't want to hear it when they call you on your stuff
Oh man, but sometimes you need to hear it. I'm
No, we
telling you.
need to hear it, but we ain't gonna
Because,
like it.
yes, just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean it ain't good for you.
Right.
But when I think about, you know, single people are more likely to keep in contact, you know, with, you know, their friends and family and things of that nature. I can agree with that as well. I'm the type of person that I will reach out to you whether you're single, married, church member, what have you, family,
Right.
when you come across my heart or you come across my spirit.
Yeah.
When the Lord tells me, okay, you need to reach out to this person, just, check in on them and make sure they're good. I'm more of that type of person. When it comes to like social getting together for like social things, I'll be honest with you, I've been the more last minute person. Like just like I told you, Yvonne, last Saturday, I was like, you know what? I don't feel like being social today. I'm tired. I'm gonna have a Sabbath day. And I canceled my social, event that I was invited to. And then later in the evening, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to be social.
Yeah, and
I'm
we're supposed
ready
to
to be
handle business
social.
that day. You joining
Yes.
me?
Yeah, I didn't want to handle business. I was ready to be social that day, okay? After I said I didn't want to be social, then I changed my mind later in the evening and said, I want to be social. And I couldn't find anyone to be social with because everybody had already made plans. So I know I need work in that area. You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, you do need to, reach out more to, your single friends and just let
Yeah.
them know that you want to get up, you want to hang out and things like that.
I'm
Now
with
I
you on
do,
that one. I do need to be intentional too.
I do. Now here's the thing though, like with one of my married girlfriends and then one of the other ones is she's single. We do have monthly brunches, right? So I do like that because that's something that's a set, day every month where we know we're going to get together and we're going to have brunch and things like that. So I'm with you, Yvonne. I'm better when it's planned in advance or planned ahead
Yeah.
versus, trying to, get up last minute with someone versus when I was single. Like you already knew what it was. Like when you were single, you work Monday through Friday. Friday night, you get off work, especially if you got paid. Get that paid check, get dressed, and you in the streets. You know what I'm saying? And
Or even
it's
like
like,
happy hour after work, back in my drinking days, happy hour after work, you would be easily to hit something up like that,
yeah. And it was just like a whim thing. It wasn't something that was really planned. It was just like if someone brought it up, we're like, sure, let's do it. Now it's like, oh, we can't just do it like that anymore. And but then also the part where it says receive assistance from friends, family, and neighbors, than those who are married. So I think about that, when you're nurturing those relationships, right? What this research is pretty much telling us that there's benefits to that. When you're nurturing relationships, there's you always maintain that connection with those that can support you when you need that support. And I feel like that latter part, there's a I feel like there's a misconception to that as well, Yvonne, because I do know actually a lot of married women who have a village, who have, like you said, certain people that they know they could go to outside of their husband if they need, spiritual wisdom, financial support, someone to watch the kids for a few hours so they can have a date night, what have you.
I know I have one. I gotta have one.
Yeah.
Because our husbands are not our dumping ground. We can't take everything we go through the day or through the week, and then we're all unleashing all of our drama and all of our internal stuff on them. And it's not fair. Because like I said, they have stuff that they deal with too, that they need to process. They've had long weeks. They have stuff they're going through. They're going, drama on the jobs, things like that. And if they're constantly hearing it from you, when is it their turn? You know what I mean? When is it their turn? So I say you need a very supportive village, a group of girlfriends that you trust, that you able to can be able to be like, okay, you guys, I'm going through this, help me. You can have a good cry because I'm a crier. I can cry anything. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm a crier. And that's gonna be like, really, I'm gonna pray for you. Let's pray. Or what does the scripture say? Because me, I'm always gotta go to the word. Like, I can't listen to what, the worldly stuff said because the worldly stuff will get you in trouble. And I'm not trying to get in trouble. Like, what does the scripture say? What does it say about your anger? What does it say about your husband? What does it say about boundaries? What does it say about love? What does it say about patience? Like, what does it say about all them things? I need to hear those type of things being poured into me on the days where I don't feel it myself. So you need girlfriends, you need a village. You need a village. And I'm not talking about 15 to 20 or something, because everybody, in my opinion, should not have the same access to you. Just as long as you have a good circle of friends that you trust, even if it's, you know, 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, that you can trust and you can be able to talk to about, you know, some of the personal things you go through, because it's when we go through so much. We go through so much as getting older. We go through so much as being wives and mothers and work and goals and dreams. And are we doing this right? Am I raising these kids right? What should I be doing? Like, oh my God, it's so much as a woman, man. And it's just so much sometimes.
No, and you're right. And things have their place. That's what I always
Yeah.
say. Everything has its place. So to your point about, you know, it's important for married people to have that village because, you know, we can't, you know, I can't share, you know, what it feels like to grow old as a woman and, you know, reach the age of, you know, menopause with a man that doesn't even
Yeah.
know what that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Exactly.
he's not going to know what
Exactly.
that means or whatever, and how a woman's body changes and how things just feel different than they did, you know, before, you know, reaching that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I 100% agree with that. And then also I was just looking at this and we're not talking about right now, you know, relationships with family and neighbors, but who says because you're married, you can't say hello to your neighbor or you can't have a relationship with your neighbor?
Listen,
That to
I need
me
to know my
is
neighbor's gonna watch my house if I'm going out of town. I need a good neighbor.
exactly, exactly. Like I have great relationship with my neighbors, and we've, you know, Yvonne, you already know, we just moved here. You know what I mean? And you just moved into your new house, so
Yeah.
it's like just because you know you're married doesn't mean you can't have a conversation with your neighbors, and you don't know your neighbors. Everyone, you should know
Yes.
your neighbors because you could have a serial killer living across the street, and you wouldn't even know it because you don't even talk to your neighbors. So we're not
Yeah.
going to go down that rabbit hole, but
We are
talk to your
not.
neighbors.
Yes, because when we moved in, moving day, when we were moving in, we met the majority of our neighbors that day. And they weren't being nosy little neighbors. Where you come from? Where it's welcome to the block. This is a family block. And they could actually tell you such and such lives here for 5 years. This person's been
Yes.
here. This man over here, he's a Vietnam War vet. He's an older gentleman. He's about like 85. And they're like, he has every tool you can think of. And he's like, he'll lend it out to you. He'll even write your name as a little checkout thing. And all he asks that you is just to return it. They say he has like old newspaper clippings that he'll let you look at. Like these are neighbors that know these things. And so they wanted to get to know the new neighbors that's coming in. And I love that because it gives you a sense of community. And my heart
Exactly.
broke when my next door neighbor, he wasn't even there that long before he took off and retired with his wife to the mountains of Tennessee. He's an ex-Dallas police officer, and he was one of the first that came over here and said, "Hello, this is my wife. She's a social worker." Like everybody was just so nice. And it's very important that we get out of this mindset of don't nobody know my business. Don't nobody want to know your business. They're just coming to say hi and welcome to the
Yes.
neighborhood. That's
Yes.
it.
And having a community to live in a community, it's a beautiful thing.
It's
I
a
will say that.
beautiful
It's a
thing.
very beautiful thing to live in a community. So, all right. So now this happily single guy, he shared
We're gonna
this
check him
research.
off. We're gonna get rid of him. He's happily
He, but he,
single.
but he shared some good things, and it gave us, you know, a good platform to have some conversation around. Because again, some things we agree with Yvonne, and some things we're like, as married women, I don't know if I agree with that as much. But we
Right.
also identified areas where it's like, yeah, I do need to work on myself in that area.
Yeah, I
So,
do
you
need to
know,
work on myself and being
kudos to
intentional.
the happy,
Yeah.
least happy, happily, happily single guy. Kudos to him.
And we need to find
So.
where he is in 5 years. I just want to say
No. Can't be so happily single. Okay,
He's not happily single.
so here we go. So then now I want to talk about, you know, common challenges associated with being married and having single friends. Because again, you know, me just doing research for this podcast, some of the things that I came across, I should say, are, you know, having differing social interests, having differing priorities, and establishing boundaries. And so, you know, for time's sake, we'll try to keep everything high level, but what are your thoughts about that? Why do you think these three items, differing social interests, differing boundaries, or excuse me, I'm sorry, differing priorities and establishing boundaries, why are these common challenges that kind of put strain on the friendship of a single woman and a married woman?
Because when you get married, your priorities shift. I mean, if I'm going to just do like high level, your priorities shifts, which means your social interest might shift a little bit more. And then that aspect of the shifting of the social interest and things like that, you have to establish new boundaries. So I put it to where it is, so before, maybe some of our social interest was going out and having a good time, going dancing and stuff like that, not always drinking. But what if we're going out dancing every
I used to
Sunday
love to
night,
dance.
then Wednesday's ladies' night, well, Thursday's ladies' nights, and then Saturdays and Fridays, ladies getting free because it was Thursday, ladies' night, Fridays, ladies get into something to whatever. I don't even remember. It's been ages ago. But maybe my priorities is okay, how about instead of do, I don't want to do, that type of stuff anymore. My interest has changed. I don't listen to the same type of music as I used to. Now I want to go listen to the Rat Pack and go to this lounge and just chill and be, very sophisticated with my black little
Oh,
dress
please
on and
don't
things
get
like
me
that.
started.
Like those were my interests. I love to read. So if I'm going to a bookstore or just sitting out chilling and we can just read books or something like that, brunching is good. Like you said, monthly dinners or lunches or brunches, we can do that type of stuff. But those other things, and also too, what you believe in sometimes kind of changes a little bit. You might have a person who was growing in their faith, but your single friend, she's not there, and so therefore you don't participate in some things that you used to, because now you're trying to live in the word and you're trying to live righteously by the word of God, and some of those things don't serve you as they used to. So that also happens too with the challenges of some single friends, but that can come with married friends too. But
True, very true.
yeah, and my priorities. My priority is my family, number one. I always say this, I'll stand 10 toes down on that. Anybody that knows me, my husband and my kids come first. They might be adults or whatever now, and my season of life might be a little different, but my cubs are my cubs. And they have their own individual lives, but they still come first. They're still my family. They are still my priority. And so sometimes, as a single friend, especially you have single friends that don't have any children, they don't understand that. Girl, why are he taking up all your time? Let them kids be kids. See, when you don't pay attention, then your kids get into trouble and then you have another problem.
That's good. That's so
You know
true.
what I mean? So, therefore, the
That's so true.
boundaries. Yeah.
That's
And
so
so,
true.
yeah. So, and then I established boundaries and I said it. When I'm married, my availability is not the same. My access is, you can call me, you can text me, but I have established boundaries, and you have to respect that. If you say you're my friend and you love me, then as a married woman, I have boundaries in place. And those boundaries aren't for you, they're for me. It's what I set the standard for how I want to live and what I want to live by. And if you can't accept those boundaries and my standard of living, then maybe we need to reevaluate this relationship.
No, I can agree with all of that because it's so very true. When we're married, of course, let me say it this way, Yvonne. When we were single and we had other single friends, a lot of our social interests usually involved, being together, going out, whether, like you said, it didn't always have to be going clubbing or anything like that, but just hanging out, going to the mall, maybe having a night where we're just curled up on the couch watching Wedding to Exhale, crying together over
We spent a
our
lot of
broken
time together.
hearts or whatever. You know what I mean? We had a lot of those bonding moments. But I can't, I can't sit on the couch anymore and cry with you while watching Wedding to Exhale and eating ice cream when that I don't have a broken heart anymore. You know what I mean? Now, if I need to console you, yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that common thread where we were, single and we were, trying to find maybe a man together, or we were trying to, invest a lot of our time in in each other because we didn't have those significant others. Let's just be honest. When once you get married, now it's like, okay, I have that kind of that person. I have that significant other that, that we were both kind of yearning for. I'm just, that's the best way I can say it. We were both kind of yearning for. So, you know, again, I'm not kicking you to the curb, but now my social, I can't pretend like I'm still yearning for something that I already have. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because that's how we bond. So that's what I'm saying. Like that social interest
that
begins to
bonding. That goes further than just relationships with your significant other. That's the
it goes way deep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so we can't, you know, now we got to find another commonality, right?
Yeah.
In order, and if you're really good friends with someone, trust me, you have multiple things in common. You don't just have trauma bonding commonality and things like that. You have multiple things in common. So we just have to shift our social interests, you know, whereas, you know, maybe on Friday nights after work, we did get together and have dinner every Friday night. Now I can't do that because, you know, my husband worked all week. I worked all week. We want to spend time instead of going out every Friday night like we used to have dinner. Let's do, you know, every 2 weeks, or let's do every fourth Saturday, or excuse me, fourth Friday, or something like that. Let's still continue to do the same things we did, but just on a different type of schedule. You know what I mean? Right. Because now I can't invest all my time into you because my husband comes first. His needs come first. And that's a hard pill to swallow, I think, for single friends, especially, you know, those that are seeking that love, that are, they're seeking that companionship, and they haven't found that yet. But here I am as a married woman now saying, you know, yes, I love you as my friend. I'm always going to love you as my friend, but my husband comes first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's also a hard thing to accept.
Yeah. And the transition. So let's say, if you know, that's what you guys did before you were married, and the transition happens, you know, and now
you're no longer that priority.
You're no longer that priority, and they're mourning that loss. To where I think also too, maybe friends, you know, who were single before, who are getting married, maybe a conversation needs to happen before then to let them know that, hey, you are still important to me. You are still a part of my life, you know, but he is my priority. But I just want to rest assure you that I'm not writing you off. I will still make time for us, but it has to be something, you know, that we can schedule in advance, especially when you start getting in with when children are involved, because children also have their projects and their after school, you know, curricular activities. If it's garden club, running club, football, volleyball. We were a sports family, so we had football and volleyball practices during the week, and then we had games during the weekend. You know what I mean? So our schedules were kind of tied up throughout the week and the weekend, to where sometimes it was hard to schedule. So I think it's just a balancing thing. In everything, you have to balance it.
It definitely does need to be balanced, because, you know, marriage does not guarantee, to our audience, marriage doesn't guarantee that you will, you know, receive the same level of conversation and socialization and support from your husband as you would your friends. You know, that's very important for our audience to understand. So it does have to, your single friendships do have to be balanced with your marriage. Of course, always, you know, setting the boundaries, letting your single friends know that, your husband comes first. And the reason I want to emphasize letting your single friends know, because usually your married friends already know, you know, it's not that you're just pulling these rules out of the sky. It's just, it's what it is. You know what I mean? And so you, like Yvonne said, you know, right before you get married, maybe have that conversation with your single friend and just let, you know, let her know that, you know, things are going to change. I don't love you any less, but things have to change because now I'm putting him first, but I need you. I still need you. I need our friendship. I need our, you know, our socialization and our time spent together. Mm-hmm. I need that even to stay level-headed as a married woman, because again, your husband, he has his place, your friends, they have their place. Yeah. And so it also, when it comes to establishing boundaries, you know, everything that I may share with my husband, I may not share with my single friends. So there's reasons for that, though. Like, for example, if me and my husband are going through, you know, a shaky time or a rocky time or whatnot, I may not share that with my single friends. It's not that I'm trying to keep any secrets from you or anything like that, but Really, truthfully, the only person that can help me if I'm having, trials in my marriage is God and my husband, through the
And
three.
that's where we're going to agree to disagree, because I
Yeah.
don't. And I
But
already told you why.
yeah, for me, I'm a very secluded person. I think when you let too many people in the kitchen, things can get messy. And I'm just very protective of my marriage, only because I have seen marriages destroyed when they have let outside influences in. And yes, you have to use a spirit of discernment. And yes, wise counsel, the Bible says wise counsel is necessary. But for me, I am very protective of my marriage because I want my marriage to work. I'm trying to make it last forever, right? So I'm very protective of my marriage. And I feel like if I can't take it to God and He can't fix it, then it ain't fixable. I'm just gonna be honest with you. It ain't fixable.
Well, I think it's,
Go ahead.
oh, I was gonna say, I just kind of think to where is, I'm back to what I say. I think anybody who that's in your circle who you trust, and I'm not talking about all your single friends, but if I know I have that one good friend who's been good to me, who loves me, and I trust her, and I know that she wants us together, and I know she's not going to be the one to be like, "Ooh, they about to break up. Let me get her in a strip club. Let me show you what she's missing." I don't need that. I will never tell that friend. Hopefully, I don't have no friend like that in my circle that would do that. No one showed me that, now. But if I trust you and I love you, and we've been standing 10 years down, and you've seen the ins and outs of our relationship, and if I'm coming to you and I'm trusting you, and I'm crying and you're wiping my tears and you're telling me let's pray and things like that, I 100%, I am okay with trusting that friend, that single friend, with some of the things in that relationship. However, everybody doesn't have that access, because for me, I don't have a big circle. I don't trust a lot of people because I do have a spirit of discernment. I can pick up on who's full of crap, and so you won't, what you used to have access to me, you won't have it. So I will handle you in a different way. But to the ones that I know that I can call and will be there, and they have shown me by their actions that they love me and my husband and my kids, and they want the best for my family, girl, you better sit down and make that thing work. Y'all didn't put too many years in this thing. What can you do? What can you change about yourself? Like she, they give me self-reflection to where maybe I shouldn't have said things that way, or this is how this escalated because XYZ. Those are the people you need in your corner that be able to hold a mirror up to your face sometime and say, "This was you, boo. This wasn't him this time. This was you. So you need to go and fix it." Have people like that. And so that's kind of where I am. That's kind of
Yeah,
where
no,
I am.
I will say this. I will say that, as you can hear, we have differing opinions on this, and we hold strong to our opinion, and that's good. We should, you know what I mean? Because we
We're
our
not the
marriages are
same.
different. Yeah, our marriages are different, and we're different. I will say this to our audience, though. I would say that always remember that your marriage is a covenant between you, your husband, and God.
Yes,
And then
always.
always use discernment, whether it's speaking to a
Always.
single friend or a married friend or a pastor or whoever. Always use discernment when it comes to the affairs of your marriage, because
Exactly.
there are people, there are wolves in sheep clothing, and there are people that, you may think have your best interests at heart, but they do not. And
I
so
agree with
that's
that.
just that's the way I want us to conclude that. But I like your thought. Just because your friend may be single does not mean that she may not have good advice, than that
Especially
the
if that's
Lord.
that friend that's been with you before then. Let's say you had that single friend for 10 to 15 years that y'all been through high school, college, and stuff with, like this person's been a part of your life. There, and she has showed you no reason at all to where she can't, you can't trust her, or she's after your husband, or anything like that, or she wants to tear your family apart. I 100% don't see why that said friend cannot be trusted.
Just use discernment. Just
Just use discernment.
use discernment. That's so critical. And so we're talking about establishing boundaries, and setting those boundaries. There are certainly critical boundaries that should be set with, single friends. And I'm just going to read a scripture, to support that. It's a Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, which says, and I will post this scripture in the description for the episode, but it says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and gossip separates close friends. And again, this
That's
scripture
fear
is
of a
not
servant.
saying that single people stir up conflict and gossip separates married people. That's not what the scripture says. It's speaking about a perverse person, period, stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. So yes, that spirit of discernment is so important when you're, establishing those critical boundaries that should be set with your single friends. Now,
And married women, because some women are married and you can look at their wedding, I mean, not their weddings, but their marriages, and you see it. And that one married friend try to pour in you. I want that. You can pour that somewhere else. I don't want that. I don't want to live like you live. You know what I
But
mean?
well, exactly. And one of the critical boundaries that, and again, everyone's marriage is differently. How you manage your marriage and maintain your marriage may be different from how we manage and maintain our marriage. But one thing that I will say, that should be considered, especially, when you are dealing with your single girlfriends, and your married girlfriends too, depending on what type of marriage they have, is, before making plans, just make sure you run it past your husband first. Just make sure, and it's not because he's trying to control you or anything like that, but there may be something else that requires your attention that you don't know about. You know
I
what I mean?
agree.
So, just let your single friend know, hey, I would love to do that, but let me go ahead and just, check with my husband to see if we don't maybe have another engagement that we have to attend to or something else that, is going on, because you guys may have an appointment to go, refinance your mortgage. You know what I mean? And it may have just slipped your mind, and here you are committing to go to a brunch, you know what I mean, with your friends. And now you realize that, okay, well, oops, I'm not going to be able to make that brunch because I got to go meet, with the lender to refinance our mortgage. Now that's putting strain on your friendship, because now your single friend's like, well, dang, she just blew me off or whatever. Why didn't she know that before? She must not just, it can give a misconception that, you really don't want to be with your friend, when in fact that it's, I want to be with you. I just forgot that I needed
I
to do
just
this.
forgot. And sometimes it
And it,
happens.
yeah, and so, that's so important. Figure out what your critical boundaries are that you need to set with your single friends, because there are critical boundaries that need to be set. Also, when it comes to setting boundaries, understand when and why these boundaries should be set. Yvonne, what do you think? When should that boundary be set? Between married women and single friends.
I think it should start for me anyway during engagement, right? Because if your engagement is also going to lead to, because some engagements don't make it, but I'm just saying, if your engagement leads into, a wedding and you're married, understanding like, okay, my life will be different, my life is going to change. And so we're going to have to handle things differently. We might have to shift on how we hang out with each other, things like that. And also too, once you're married and then you're introducing children into the relationship, when you're pregnant or if you're thinking about having kids, those conversations with your friends should be taking place. That's like, okay, we're thinking about having kids. My time that first year is crazy and it flies by so fast that I might not be able to do all the things we used to do. Just give me grace and understanding. And if she's a close friend anyway, she might be helping you with the baby anyway. So, just establishing those boundaries ahead of time so everybody's on the same page. Granted, maybe everybody might not like, said boundaries in the beginning, but it's all about the balance. And if you love me like you say you do, you will respect me, especially if it's a place coming out of love.
I love that. I love that, because that actually, our scripture for that, Proverbs 17, chapter 17, verse 9, it says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats that matter separates close friends. I love that you said that, when there's love in that relationship, that friendship, instead of looking at me setting these boundaries as me pushing you away, it could
Right.
be I'm trying to draw you in closer, just in a
Yeah,
different way. Because, like I
exactly.
said, just because we're married doesn't mean that we don't need that socialization. We don't need that female companionship. We don't need that stuff that we cackle on the phone about for hours at a time where we're really not talking about nothing. We still need that. That's still a very important part of a married woman's life. But then there's also, times where, friendships have to be severed, where if you're trying to set those boundaries and your friends, whether, right now we're focused on the single friends because of the whole misconception that married women can't have single friends. But as Yvonne said, whether it's single friends or married friends, if they can't respect your boundaries, it starts to bring unnecessary strife, arguments, drama into your marriage. As I just said, your marriage is a covenant. My marriage is a covenant. Yvonne's marriage is a covenant with three people. You, your husband, and the Lord.
And God.
So
That's
if
it.
someone, it's marked, I actually got it on my wall right here in my bedroom. And it's actually, I have it facing on my wall, Yvonne, in audience, where my husband and I, we can see it. Every morning we wake up, we're reminded of this scripture. It says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And that's Mark chapter 10, verse 9. We have that there because every day we want to be reminded that our covenant is between us and God. He is the and, God is the and, Christ is the center of Mr. and Mrs. You know what I mean? He is our and. So if you have a friend that is trying to get in between that three chord bond, they got to go. And
They
again,
gotta go.
the only, because I have my moments when I know ties will be cut. Yvonne, I know you're quick to
Listen,
cut folks off. I
I
know,
am so
don't even
quick.
go.
I'm quick. I had to ask
Go.
my sissy, be like, okay, is anything wrong with me? Why am I so quick to do this? Because I'm not even gonna
Yeah.
control. I'm
But
so quick to do it, to protect my peace. Because at the end of the day, my peace is number one. If you're coming to cause havoc in my life, you gotta go. If you're coming to cause havoc with my children, my home, my just everything, and you're being disruptive and rude and disrespectful, you have to go. I have no problems cutting you off. Absolutely not.
Amen. But ladies, only you can determine when that time. But again, we said it, use discernment. Do not continue to hang on to something that's going to be poisonous to your life.
Oh, that's
Even
it.
I don't care. And I know Yvonne had mentioned there's some friends that you could have for 10, 15, 25 years and they can be solid. You can trust them, and that is rightfully truth. However, there's some friends that you may know 10, 15, 25 years, and they have been poisonous since day one.
One.
And as you grow older, you begin to see that. And you need to, especially when you're married, you need to realize that because if they poison your marriage, if that's not nobody's fault but your own. It's not even their fault. It is your fault because you've seen the signs, and yet you let them still come in and infiltrate your marriage. And now, it didn't work out. So, and summarizing this podcast, because I know we're almost at the top of the hour, we just want to say, ladies, that coming into this podcast, this episode, I should say, I was just like, why is it that people think that married women can't have single friends? When Yvonne, please tell me if you agree, but what I just seen and learned is that it is very possible for married women to have single friends. It's healthy. It's necessary. And it helps us as married women. I don't want to say keep our ear to the street to know what's going on, you know what I'm saying, in the single world, but it helps us feel like that we're not in a cloud or a bubble or on an island by ourselves as married women. Because here's the truth. When you look at the statistics of marriage, there's one married woman out of four women. So if there's a crowd of four women, only one woman is married. So in a sense, we're outnumbered. And I think about some of the feedback that we got from the first podcast, and you said it, Yvonne, at the top of the hour, we sometimes feel isolated. We feel like that we're not part of the social scene and stuff like that. And part of it, we're not, because we are married and we talked about that on the podcast, different priorities. But at the same time, we still can be fun. You know what I mean? We still can have fun.
I
We
still
still
want to
can go out
have
to dinner.
fun. And my definition of fun has changed. My definition of fun is not what it was in my 20s or in my early 30s, and I'm dating myself. I'm 41. I am happy to say that. So my definition of fun has changed. So that means sometimes my crowd of people who enjoy those type of things might change, right?
Amen.
Especially if you have some people that still, into, some of the old stuff I was doing. And if that's not me, sometimes you need to surround yourself with people who have the same hobbies and things that you like around you, so you can be able to enjoy those things.
Amen.
I need to find me a jazz group because, man, I can sit and I can listen. And in my 20s, I didn't listen to jazz. In my 30s, I didn't listen to like Sinatra or the Rat Pack, or things like that of that nature, or Dorothy Dandridge and things like. That's not where I was. Evolution. I call it an evolution. An evolution happened within inside of me that I have embraced all these things. So I now need not to give away, throw away my other circle, but like we just said it, my social interests have changed. So I want to cultivate, another group that's kind of within those same interests because those are the things that I like.
Yes,
So.
and allocating, I love that you said that because me, everyone doesn't have to do this, but me, I allocate my friends, meaning that I identify them for who they are, and instead of trying to make them fit who I am, I try to meet them where they're at, right? So I allocate them, and if there's certain things and interests that I know that they have, that's how we connect. That's how we bond. I'm not going to connect with one of my friends that, I have a friend that's a Buddhist. You know what I mean? Prayerfully, I keep sharing Jesus with her. Prayerfully, she's gonna be saved one day, and praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven together. But nonetheless, it's still my friend. You know what I mean? And so when
No,
I
yeah,
connect with her,
100%.
I may not connect with her, well, I don't connect with her on the level where you and I, Yvonne, we'll get together for Bible study or things like that or whatever. We're breaking down the word. We don't connect like that, but we still connect. We go out, we have lunch, we have a great time. For she's always there when I need her. She's just an amazing friend, and I've known her since elementary school, grade school. So it's like, I allocate my friends, and it's not that anyone is less or more than the other. It's just I like to meet my friends where they're at because those friendships mean so much to me. And I want to end us with this scripture. It says, it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 10. It says, if either of you falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Ladies, let's not put ourselves in this this isolated hole.
Isolation.
You know what I mean? Where we don't have a friend who will pick us up. Yes, our husbands will pick us up, but truthfully, it is not healthy, ladies, married women, for us to soak our everything into our husbands. It is not healthy. We need
No.
to have socialization with other women. We have to.
Yeah.
We are a woman, and only another woman can bond with us on the level of feminine, being a female, that feminine side of us. Only a woman can bond in that area. A husband, he does. Our husbands don't know. They don't know, again, how our minds change, our bodies change as we get older. We can try to share those things with them, absolutely, but like Yvonne, you just became, you're almost an empty nester, but both of your children are adults now. The feelings that you may have about that situation may differ from what your husband's feeling. Not saying you can't come together and share your feelings, with your husband. You guys can't, share, each other's feelings and try to support each other in that area. But a mother, it's different for a mother. I'm not looking, I always joke and say I can't wait till the day, but truthfully, I'm not looking
Listen.
forward to that day.
I think me and my husband is on the exact same page of
Well, you
when
know
these
what?
kids
I'm
are
gonna
going to get up out
need
of
a, another woman to help me when it's my turn because I do have a very close relationship with my children, and I do love
I
my
do
children,
too.
and
And
you
my
do
husband,
too. But
he calls me
I,
every day.
yes, but see, but okay, we're not gonna go there because that's a totally different episode. We talk about the kids because I was gonna say once I do let it go, don't call me every day. You're not gonna have a key to my house. You can't just be walking up in here because you don't never know what
He
I'm
has a
doing.
key. Yep, my son has a key to my house.
No,
He calls me every day. We
no.
FaceTime. He picks up his sister. I make sure that because that's another transition. you know, when one kid is outside the home and one is still in, I make sure those relationships are still cultivating. He took her out driving last Saturday, her older
Well,
brother.
that
So
is awesome, but no, we are not going to start talking about kids right now because I have some things to say about that, and we already above overtime. But you know, we talked about a lot of great things on this podcast, and one other scripture I want to share, just talking about, you know, just women maintain those healthy friendships with your single friends. I just want to share this final scripture, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. One who has an unreliable friend soon comes to ruin. So we were talking about that spirit of discernment, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Women, we need that sisterhood.
We need each other.
We need that sisterhood, my God. And
Yeah.
again, it's just going to make us better wives. It's going to make us better, but better mothers, and it's going to make us better women when we have that sisterhood.
Yeah.
So I
And
want us
we're
to go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
I
Go
just
ahead,
wanna
Yvonne.
add one more point because I know we're at the top of the hour. But I want to make sure to, since this is, you know, we're speaking from a Christian and a faith perspective, ladies, if you're a part of the church, try to get involved with your woman's ministry because there is
That's good.
different women there that are in different seasons of life that you can relate to and that you can share with. And that if you are going through tough times, you know, there might be a woman there that's with you in the grief counseling ministry or whatever that you can, you know, relate to if you're going through a hard time with loss, things like that. Just make sure you find someone that you connect to. And the church, with the women's ministry, if you belong to a body of a church, is a perfect way to find women that you can relate to, and that you can
Amen.
connect and pour into and pray for women of God. You know, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Amen. And you know what, Yvonne? That is so true. If I could just share a testimony really quick. I had a woman in my church, not part of the women's ministry, but she reached out to me, and she gave me a card, and it was the most beautiful thing ever. And pretty much, I won't share the details of the card, but it basically just said that she had went through a great loss. And you know, she's looking for love again, to be remarried again. And she said, "I see you with your husband, and I just want you to know that I am praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your marriage because I want that. That's what I want." And so we begin to bond after that, and we're actually going to get together soon to do just lunch and get to know each other more. And again, this is a single woman, and I am a married woman, and we're bonding on the commonality of, you know what, I see your marriage and I'm not envious of it. I'm happy up for it. And I just want to connect with you because I too desire that. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with connecting with women in your church that, you know, may where you may, you know, I don't want to say benefit one another, sis. I don't know if that's the correct term to use, but you can sharpen each other. That's the term I'll use, regardless if you're married or single. Because to what you just said, Yvonne, that's why I wanted to bring this up. You know, you could just because you're a married woman doesn't mean that you can't bond with a single woman that may be sharing the same grief. Maybe you both lost your mothers. You know, COVID just happened, took so many lives.
So
You know,
many.
there's different ways that a married woman and a single woman can bond. So, wow, I'm so glad you said that. Yes, we're gonna, that's a great way to just end that.
Yes, amen.
So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you guys for joining us. Again, this one was a little long. We knew it was gonna be heavy. Me and Yvonne going into it, we knew it was gonna be heavy, but we pray that you guys receive the wisdom and the knowledge taught through this episode, balancing marriage with single female friends, because I don't know, it was a blessing to me for sure. And I know it was a blessing to you, Yvonne. So, audience, I hope it was a blessing to you guys as well. I'm going to go ahead and pray out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, for this fellowship, because it definitely is a fellowship, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that spoke through your vessels, me and Yvonne, on this evening. And we just pray, Father God, that the words that you put in our spirit to share, Father God, will resonate and touch the hearts of women who are married, Father God, and that are questioning whether or not they should sustain and maintain their relationship with their single friends, Father God. I ask that you just give them a spirit of discernment, Father God, in making that decision, Father God, in, readjusting their social interests, readjusting their priorities, and setting those necessary boundaries, Father God, with their single friends so that their marriages are not impacted negatively from maintaining their single their friendships with their single friends. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing through this Making It Last Forever Christian Marriage and Relationship podcast. And we just believe that at the end of the day, you're going to get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Ladies, we thank you for, was I clear? Everything was clear on your end, Yvonne?
Yep, everything was clear on my end.
Yes, it sounds like we had some clear connections this time. We won't talk about the last time. That's water under the bridge.
Yes. But
But
thank you guys for joining us. We
yes.
look forward to hearing from you. We can follow us on Facebook, Making It Last Forever. You can
Yes.
follow our Facebook page, podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're all major platforms. But come along this journey with us. It's going to bless
Yes.
you and it's going to bless us.
Yes, and we need some friends. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. But you guys have a blessed evening. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you guys next time. I can't
All
wait for
right.
episode number three.
Three. Have a good night, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.